Welcome to Semiobites, bite-sized podlog episodes related to theological semiotics.
Hey, I'm Yoni.
I'm Terry.
And thanks for listening to our second episode. I'm going to pass the torch over to Terry here because we have a special guest speaker. But I just wanted to give the heads up that the audio for our guest speaker isn't up to the par that we like to have all of our episodes. It was a live interaction and we had a lot of guests there and a dog barking. So the audio should be easy to listen to, but if you have any questions, let us know.
Okay. Well, it's my pleasure and a delight to introduce our guest speaker, Dr. Leonard Sweet. I won't go into his credentials. We'll post about all that, but he's probably one of the least known visionaries in Christianity for no good reason. He's widely published, teaches at several universities, and has years of cohorts under his belt and under his mentoring. I've known him personally for at least a decade, probably closer to 12 years now, when my wife and I met him at a church where we were raising faith-based support for our ministry and mission work with Wycliffe Bible Translators. I went into his, he was a keynote speaker, and I went into his talk. And within the first 30 seconds, he had used the word semiotics three or four times. Well, I hadn't heard anybody use the word semiotics three or four times other than myself and a couple of students I'd studied it with for several years. So I was immediately drawn to Lynn, and we struck up a conversation and have been in correspondence ever since. And I've seen him at several of his Christian conference events, and it have ultimately led me into this program of semiotics and future studies with him at Portland Seminary with George Fox, and it's an honor to study with him.
What is the most powerful Jewish metaphor you see for storytelling?
Oh, well, you just start at the beginning and just first metaphors of the Bible. Number one, dirt, earth, ground. Second metaphor, water. Third metaphor, wind. I mean, you could just pick any one of those and go with the whole thing. I you get fire later. So. I got a rocks group going here at the very beginning, but I love the cloud, pillar of cloud by day, and the pillar of fire by night. I love the smoke and fire. Mm-hmm. I call it smoke and fire, and so you look for the mist, the smoke, and you look for the fire, and that continues all the way through First and Second Testament. You got the power of that cloud and fire, smoke and fire.
They're so pretty broad metaphors too, so you can really expand them in many directions.
Yeah, and I say men especially need smoke and fire. Male evangelism requires smoke and fire. You want to reach men, you got to get smoke and fire. The Bible is written the story, key to story or metaphors, and there's just a whole heavenly banquet of metaphors that are laid out there for us. So I'm never at a loss for finding a great metaphor, man.
Yeah, I noticed that.
There's so many of them. So.
All right, so I'm going to change trains here for a moment. What do you think we could do to improve relationships between Jews and Christians?
Well, I think one is to really, first of all, a good conversation, a good relationship between any two people means that both people are strong in and of themselves. And so I had a friend who, a professor who believed that the Torah was the truth. The Torah was alive, and he was living the Torah. And we used to have some wonderful conversations because he said, "Sweet, it's so much fun to talk to you because you believe Jesus is the truth. Jesus is alive. I believe Torah is truth, and Torah is life. And it's great to talk to you because we can both... you know, we're standing strong in our own traditions, and we're talking to one another and arguing with one another, and He said, I'd so much rather talk to you than to these Christians that are afraid to talk to me because they don't want me to think that they really believe in Jesus. And so I think part of it is for us to stand strong in our own traditions, standing strong in who we are, and then from there go on and learn from each other and talk to one another. But I think you talk from a position of strength, not weakness. You stand strong in who you are, your own identity, which means, you know, the more passionate you are about Torah and the more passionate you are about Jesus as living Torah today, the better relationships we're going to forge.
So it's that resonant harmony despite differences is what we should look for.
Yeah. And I learned so much from him about Hebrew scriptures, and he was also an expert on Peirce. I wrote a whole book on them, so I feel very blessed that I've been in that relationship.
Okay, so I have a follow-up question for that. In my dissertation process, I'm working on building the bridge of understanding between Jews and Christians, and one of the main feedback, the biggest thing I've gotten from the Jewish community, is that the thing that stands in the way for them is that oftentimes when they're talking to a Christian, the Christian then tries to evangelize them and convert them. Do you think there is a possibility of these two groups getting along and not evangelizing Jewish individuals?
Well, first of all, it depends on what you mean by evangelism. I mean, I'm in the process of talking to somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly being changed. I'm constantly being, even when I'm evangelizing, I am being evangelized to new understandings of who Jesus is, new understandings of what faith is, what it means to be human. So good evangelism means you come away from that encounter even more changed than the other person. I mean, if you're living strong in the Torah, you ought to be evangelizing me too. You ought to be saying, I can't believe, sweet, you don't understand. The Torah is true. What is wrong with you? And I ought to be saying to you, what are you talking about? I can't believe you don't understand that Jesus. So we respect one another, we love one another, but we are coming, and so then, but in that dynamic of those sparks that are flying out from the flint striking together, or the two of us, you not understanding why I don't believe Torah is true, and I'm not understanding why you don't believe Jesus is true, then, well, I'm being converted too. I'm being evangelized. I'm just going, well, you know, that's really, and you're going, well, you know. So you come away with a deeper understanding of who Torah and the power of Torah, and I come away with a deeper understanding of who Jesus is and the power of Jesus. So we both come away evangelized, if you will. Yeah. And we both risk the encounter. I mean, I'm risking being, you know, you're right, I gotta become a Jew. And you're risking, you know, you're right, I gotta become a Christian. And so there's that risk involved in both of us in true evangelism, where we're risking ourselves to be open and vulnerable to the other.
Yeah.
But we're standing strong in our own truth, our own tradition.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
That's my understanding of it. You know, whole book on this called Nudge. Like, we're all nudging each other. We're being nudged. And so I don't. So my understanding of evangelism is not, I'm going to colonize you to my way of thinking. That's an old bad evangelism.
Yeah.
I think the understanding is the key word for me. I mean, I will understand my convictions more strongly than as I understand his.
Yeah, exactly.
Yoni's, and vice versa.
But I'm not.
Doesn't mean we have to put them out there and roll dice.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's been one of the larger struggles in the community where I'm in, is that they've had individuals that are missionaries go undercover and pretend to be Jewish only for the sake of trying to convert them to Christianity.
Oh, dude, that's bait and switch. So. Yeah, that's the worst of bait and switch. Yeah. Yeah, that's really mean.
It's a mean-spirited thing to do.
Yeah, well, it's dishonest. Yeah. And, you know, I'd resent that.
Yeah.
Resent that terribly.
Okay. So in this cohort program, we've talked in the past about pardes and the concept of semiotics. How would you explain that to somebody who's not familiar with semiotics? I mean, I try to have these conversations, and I can't say, oh, study of science. I have to say, you know, the Shema, when it says, let it be assigned to you, that means something. But how would you explain semiotics to a Jewish audience? I know you've done this part in your book already, but the concept of pardes to a non-Jewish audience.
Well, I would start with anything so complex. I just start with something really, really simple. I mean, just like, depending on whatever nationality you were, in this case, U.S. American, and actually have bought some napkins that are flags.
Yeah.
You know, you say you take out a white napkin, you blow your nose, nobody has a problem. You take out a napkin that's a flag, you blow your nose.
You blow up the environment.
And that's semiotics. Yeah. It's just that simple.
That's a good demonstration.
It's just, so suddenly you become a foul, nasty human being and a bad patriot and an insidious, subversive American because you violated the power of that sign. So I wouldn't start with anything so complicated as pardes.
In my conversations, and we talked about this in our introductory episode, in my conversations, when I sense that they're starting to kind of get an inkling, I'll say, okay, let's turn the tables. You give me something that is not assigned.
Yeah.
Because I've got, all I have on that list is the number one, and I haven't been able to put anything down there since.
Yeah.
You know, so that gives me an opportunity to say, oh, but that is assigned because, I mean, you used a word to tell me.
Yeah.
You know.
And, you know, we're having a wedding here tomorrow, and it all hinges around an exchange of signs. And it's those rings that are signs.
Yeah.
That's a sign. That's semiotics. So everything signs something. And the question is, how do you learn how to read it?
Yeah. Okay, so I've got one more question on my end. This one may be a little bit more, do you believe that there is, for lack of a better term, a salvation program that can work for both Jews and Christians, allow them to both keep their individual faith traditions?
Well, I see it as one salvation story. I don't see our having two salvation stories. I see us as having one. And, I'm not all the way there. I'm saved and being saved. I'm converted and being converted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not all the way there. All of us are in different place stages of that journey. And so I don't see it as two. I see our sharing of the same salvation story and both of us being on different points in that story. Part of the Christian problem is they haven't entered the Jewish salvation story. They haven't entered their own story. So they need, in some ways, to go back, as I see it, and others need to go forward. So I'm trying to get the Jesus followers to go back and enter another salvation story, which is really theirs. And so when I'm talking to a Jewish friend or whatever, I'm trying to get him to continue his salvation story. So I don't see it as two salvation stories. I see it as one. So that means that there is a unique relationship that, if you put it like this, Jews and Christians have, unlike any other religious tradition, unlike Hindus, unlike Buddhists, unlike Muslims. We share the same salvation story. We're both on the same salvation story, so we're just different places on it. So I don't see it as, I see it as a very unique relationship. That because Jesus was a Jew, he was always a Jew, he died a Jew, and if I don't understand what that means, I can't really fully inhabit my own story.
Interrupt, Terry.
Is that a good enough answer, you think? I mean, it certainly gives us something to work with, doesn't it?
Yeah, it gives, it allows us to continue the conversation.
Absolutely, yeah. But you're so right. I mean, just in the dialogue we've had so far, it's really opening me up to that part of the story
that
I know so little about.
Yeah. And that's the problem with most Christians is they don't even know their own story, their own salvation story. Because if you don't know this, you don't know that. You're
half awake.
Half awake, yeah.
So, that was a great interview. What do you think, Terry?
It was wonderful. I always enjoy having a good conversation with Lynn, and he never lets you down.
All right. So what we're going to go ahead and do is, since that interview is a little longer, is we'll have a follow-up episode with our interactions and feedback regarding that interview we just had, just to keep it easier for your commute.
Sounds good to me. Looking forward to it.
All right. Next time.
Next time, Yoni. Thank you.
Send questions, comments, and suggestions to semiobites@gmail.com. Semiobites is a podcast co-hosted by Yedberg and Semio City to answer Semitic questions via Semiach analysis by addressing misunderstandings to build a bridge of shalom between Judaism and Christianity. Semiobites is a component of the Track 2 dissertation process at Portland Seminary for Jonathan Esterman and Terry Rankin. Musical consideration provided by bensounds.com.